Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios, it's time for St. Louis Business Radio. Now here's your host, Michael Greenberg.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Business Radio X St. Louis. Today, we are spotlighting Clearint, one of the fastest growing payment processing companies in the U.S. I have on Mark Sunt, the Chief Technology Officer of Clearint. Mark, how are you doing today?
Good, fine, thank you.
Great. And I also have on Steve Thomas, once again, from Covenant Technology Partners. Steve, how are you doing?
Good, Michael. Good to see you again.
Good to be on. So, Mark, tell me a little bit about Clearint.
Hi, Michael. Clearint is an acquiring processor, which means that we represent about 30,000 merchants in North America, and we facilitate the payments from the credit card processors to the merchants. So it's a little different than most people think of credit card processing, in that somebody gave you a card. That's somebody called an issuer. And we're the people that actually represent the merchants and get them paid with your money. So it's an interesting business. We've been in the top fastest, 5,000 fastest growing companies in America. This is our fifth year. It's an Inc. magazine survey. So we've been clipping along here. And we've been incorporating a number of technologies to accommodate our growth. And that's what I hope to talk to you about here today.
Great. Well, congratulations once again on a fifth year. Steve, a little bit about Covenant, just to recap our listeners.
Well, certainly. Covenant Technology Partners is a Microsoft Gold partner, a solution provider, firmly set into the business processes of companies to try and help them make a major leap in business, whether it's in savings or more information to make better decisions or solution provision, et cetera. We're really focused a lot on a lot of things that are going on now in the Internet of Things, Power BI, Power Business Intelligence, and analytics. And so I'm pleased to be on this program today. Thank you.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you on. And I understand you're also an admirer of the work Mark here has done.
I'm his number one fan.
With it, primarily data visualization was the first thing that sort of kicked off the idea of this spotlight. And then from there, we dug in a little bit, and I found out that you've brought Clearint to the cloud.
Yeah, it's been a long march. We call it the march to the cloud. It's been a multi-step process. The general idea is that we need to get the infrastructure in place, first of all, to get our data into the cloud. And part of that process is really getting a secure infrastructure laid down across all of our internal systems that can extend into our external systems. So we facilitated something called single sign-on and federation. So we had the capability of actually bridging our security all the way into things like Salesforce and into the Azure cloud and into and across all of our web properties. It's one of those things that without that, it's really hard to move data and share data at an appropriate granularity. So a lot of people miss that step, but it's absolutely the plumbing necessary to achieve what we've achieved to date. So the second step of that is really getting connectivity. So people think of the cloud is out there and it's open, you've got all these networks and you can connect to them so easily, but it's not quite that easy. You really want to have dedicated connections to these cloud providers such that you've got capacity and the capacity is dedicated. It's been a multi-month process to get the circuits and the equipment necessary to harden our connections to the cloud. So once we got the security, we got the connectivity, and now we're starting to plow the data up into the cloud.
And now this initial change, this march to the cloud, as I believe that's your term for it.
Yep.
What was the impetus? What really pushed you to say, this is something we have to do, and now is the time to do it?
So we find is data is something that all of our merchants love to have, and all of our partners love to have. And what you find when you're creating reports and you're trying to provide people with some visibility to data, everybody wants it in their own way, in their own shape. So I call it the fidelity of the data. I tend to look at my, I balance my checkbook using the gross balance of the end of the month. My wife likes to balance the checkbook by looking at every single line item. I don't want to see every, so the fidelity for me is, super coarse grained. I just want to see the big numbers. But my wife wants to dive into every transaction and every little fee. And it's hard to provide that type of a diverse reporting environment in something that you're going to provide and write on site. So we're taking advantage of technologies that Microsoft has recently introduced. And Microsoft's been really clever about the way they've done this. They allow you to put data into the cloud at a very low cost. And then what they do is they charge you on the visualization of the data, which I think is actually a business model that works best for us. We were talking to another cloud provider that had a different model where they were charging a lot of money to get the data up there, and then the visualization tools were free. So it's, you know, you've got to look at how these things are priced, and you know, find the solution that's that fits the business problem and need you have. We have very few people that need access to, you know, high fidelity, so our costs are low and the data storage costs are low. So it actually that worked out well for us. So, you know, we put all this data in the cloud, and then we could take advantage of all the computational resources that Microsoft has, you know, for pennies per hour to just, you know, mash this data and aggregate it and average it and, you know, get all the statistics we need to present it in, you know, a super coarse grain to begin with, and then allows people to drill into the data as they need to see additional fidelity. So it's you know, you're never going to have a one-size-fits-all reporting solution. So we're trying to give people the, you know, the capability of drilling into the data that they'd like to get more or see more of.
Very cool. With that, obviously, much of the data you have is confidential and needs to remain secure. How did you balance that?
It's a great question. You know, we have several types of data. Obviously, we have personally identifiable information, which is, you know, information about our partners, which we keep very secure and encrypted. And then we have credit card information, which we tend to refer to as our credit card data environment, or CDE, and that information is encrypted and stored within our local data centers. So the data that we're exposing to the cloud today and the cloud provider we're using is Microsoft Azure, and they do actually have PCI certification. So they've achieved the certification levels necessary for me to share PCI sensitive data, you know, to the cloud, but we don't do that. So be very clear about that. So what we're doing is we're aggregating data. It tends to be financial transactional information and amounts and totals and counts only. So we've extracted away all the fine-grained transactional details, and it's really the information that our partners want to know. You know, it's important to them. How did I get paid? Why did I get paid? And what did I pay? So what are the, you know, the costs they incurred, and what are the receipts they should be expecting? So it's basically expenses and revenue that they're looking at. And we're sharing that information today at an executive level internally. And it's also important to note that this is all structured data. It's all financial data. It's structured. It's all in SQL Server. We're using something called Power BI to be able to slice and dice the data. We're looking at using something called the Parallel Data Warehouse, which Microsoft provides for, you know, very, very low cost. And, you know, these are boxes that we used to have one over here in Clayton, the Parallel Data Warehouse. And it was so big and so expensive. And the heating and cooling was so had such high requirements that CityPlace could not host the device in the Microsoft office. It generated so much heat. Like, it was $1 million box, and nobody could put it in anywhere for demonstrations because it just generates so much heat. So now it's in the cloud. And I don't have, you know, I can't pay $1 million for a piece of hardware, but I can certainly pay a couple bucks an hour. And what that thing will do is just chew through the data and do aggregations, and it'll slice. So the idea is that every way you want to look at the data has been pre-calculated. So if you've got something you want to look at, you're not doing these generating data on the fly. It's already been generated. And when you click on something, it's instantaneous. You know, so I don't want my CEO or any of the executives, you know, trying to figure out or waiting for something to compile. We've lived through that, right? We used to run these tools on our desktops, and you'd wait for 45 minutes to load the model, and it would take, you know, minutes to run the model, and those days are over. You know, this stuff on the cloud happens instantaneously. It's pre-calculated, it's pre-aggregated, and they click on it, and they get the data they want instantaneously. And, you know, you think of the value that can be derived by, you know, these are smart people, and they want to see, you know, different views of the data, and they want to be able to do it very quickly. So we've had a great, great luck with that.
And do you see this trend just continuing forward?
So the trend for us is we're starting at an executive level. And then we'll be sharing this information with our partners. So it'll be something that, you know, instead of me buying more SQL servers and putting web form and grids within our web applications, which everybody knows and loves and doesn't love, we'll be extending the data that's relevant to our partners. And over time, we really hope to introduce this type of data and data access to our merchants, so the 30,000 merchants that are out there. So we're taking kind of a top-down approach. We think the highest value consumer, the why, is really starts in the executive level, and then we'll work down into our partners and our ISOs, our independent sales organizations that sell our services.
Awesome. So a transition this big is one of those things that most companies cannot wrap their heads around. And in fact, I know plenty of companies still trying to remain on the IBM mainframes they bought 30, 40 years ago. How do you go about choosing the best technologies to use?
Well, there's definitely a cost-benefit analysis has to take place. There's a lot of legacy data out there. What I find is there's kind of as-is business processes, and there's to-be business processes, and people don't like change, right? So you've got people who have done invoices this way for 30 years. They're telling me to do it that way. I'm trying to introduce business process change in a way that takes advantage of industry best practices and modern practices and technologies. So it can be kind of a slow and gradual approach. That's why we're taking a slow and gradual approach from the top down. And I think when people see the business benefit and just the access to the data where they don't have to go to email anymore, they can get data on their phone, they get it on their tablets, they get it, they can get the data any way they want it from any device they want. They see the benefit very quickly. I think the access to data is what they really want. And whether it's from a website or from an old legacy device and it was hard to get to and hard to share the data with, I think the consumption will drive, the ease of consumption will drive adoption.
You're using Power BI, obviously, has been mentioned.
Uh-huh.
What other pieces have come together to form this whole cloud move?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about the security, the underlying security. We're using Active Directory is our authentication method, our main authentication method, and we actually tie that using a tool called Ping Federate out to our external system. So it's the piece that actually ties Windows Azure to our Active Directory implementation internally. We're looking at other tools and for unstructured data access. So our unstructured data is all being put into something called Splunk. Our Splunk implementation is—I call it a dumping grounds because it isn't eloquent. It's not structured. It's just a bunch of data in a big bucket. But the cool thing about that is we use it for operational control, monitoring, and health. So we're throwing logs in there. We're throwing test transactions in there, and it's a great solution for driving alerts and. For telling us if conditions don't seem right, and for monitoring trends. It really is a phenomenal tool for managing unstructured data in a way that allows us to be operationally proactive. So it's more of an operational tool. Today, we're using that on-premise, but they do have a cloud offering, and I'd love to get that into the cloud at some point. It also has many of the elements we talked about. It's accessible from your phone. It's accessible from tablets and obviously through PCs. So there's a lot of benefit with having a structured data strategy and an unstructured data strategy, and moving all of those things to the cloud is definitely where we want to get to.
Very interesting. I know the structured versus unstructured data is one that I hear about quite often these days. You managed to make this move entirely internally, which is a feat in itself. Do you have advice for teams who are looking to make this sort of move? What sort of resources do they need internally to make this transition?
I think you have to truly understand your data inventory. You got to start somewhere to understand what data do you have. And then I think you have to, talk to business constituents to understand their needs, and then create processes to meet the needs. And it was an interesting discovery for us as we started creating reports for people. And we did it as kind of a prototyping. It's like, hey, somebody was asking for this data. Can you provide it to them? And we started emailing it to them. And we did it as kind of a one-off, and we thought it was a one-off solution. And all of a sudden, the system failed on a Sunday. Like, our reporting system, you know, didn't have production-level capabilities, and we weren't managing. We didn't have service levels established for sharing data. Well, we missed a weekend. Well, that Monday, you can imagine, there's some pretty upset people. They didn't get their reporting. So, you know, you've got to, you know, as you go into these things and you build these prototypes, you know, understand the data you've got, the needs that you might have consumers or customers, what their needs are, and then establish a process to get them the data and establish service levels that will keep them happy, that are achievable. And that was something we didn't do a great job of, you know, out of the gate. So yeah, we did it internally, but we made a few mistakes, and that was definitely one of them. So set service levels, you know, nothing else. And then, you know, we did have a lot of expertise. We have a really great database team, a dedicated team that we share across the development groups. They had a lot of interest in reporting and data warehouse management and had a great background. I spent 17 years at Microsoft, so I had a little bit of insight into what they were doing and had some experience with SQL Server. So we were able to parlay that into a solution that that accommodated our business users to fulfill their data needs.
Obviously, not every company has a CTO with 17 years experience at Microsoft or a dedicated database team. Steve, when do you think the right time is to start looking for outside partners?
Well, it really depends upon the organization and what they want to get out of the system, what their architecture is, and the strengths they have internally. But, you know, things have advanced to the point today that they're really powerful, affordable, less expensive, more easily implemented platforms that a company can bring on internally. But when it gets to the point that they realize that the cost associated with this sometimes is they're taking their people off of mission-critical tasks, or they're putting their people in harm's way if projects need to be done, it makes a lot of sense sometimes either hire into that or consult with a partner to come in and assist them in getting this accomplished.
Great. And Mark, obviously, you did it all internally. Any tips when it comes especially to looking for the right technical talent within your team that you would give out to somebody looking to make a move to the cloud?
Now, I've been fortunate enough to hire some, you know, super smart people that have, you know, very inquisitive, and they're inquisitive about the business. So, you know, they want to see how many transactions go through the system. They want to see how our merchants are doing. We love to profile some of our merchants and, you know, understand the types of credit cards are being used. So, you know, it's finding somebody with that, you know, kind of inquisitive nature, who wants to experiment, and, you know, who's not afraid to fail. And you know, we've had our fair share of failures. It's important to know that you're going to fail. It's not if, it's when. And it's, you know, being able to learn from those failures and move forward in discovering you know, new things you can do with the data. And I think our group is, they're not just database people. They're really business experts that have database expertise also. And it's, you know, it's important to find, you know, those types of those people.
You made an interesting comment there that they needed to have an interest in the business. And this really is a business-focused solution, a technical solution to a business problem. Do you see that trend continuing of finding those business problems, then developing technical solutions to them, specifically within larger enterprises moving to the cloud?
So we use something called our whole software development lifecycle is based on the SAFe Agile framework. So it's a scaled Agile framework that allows us to get business requirements funneled through product management, and product management will create, you know, kind of and prioritize the business need, and then that business need flows down to us as something called Epic's features and stories. So we actually break down the business problem into these deliverable chunks that we can release in a two-week cadence. So you know, we're blessed by having, you know, a great interface to the business. It's hard for our database people to be, you know, sitting with the business people, right? So there's a little bit of a filter there, but we're all just naturally inquisitive, and it's actually part of our culture. So we've got three tenets within our culture, and you know, the first one's making others great, and making others great really means helping people. And we help people through access to data, right? So it's kind of we're encouraging people to say, hey, would this data help you get your job done? The second part of our cultural tenets is constant learning. So we're looking for people who are constantly learning. And in fact, I've got a very large training budget where we send people to training all over the country. And it's important to be learning. So you're never static. You're trying to learn the latest and greatest things that Microsoft has. And it's embedded within our culture. And the third thing is actually having fun. So if you combine those three elements of our culture, you know, with data, great things happen, right? They want to help you. They're constantly learning. We're having fun. And you're just, you know, great things are going to grow from that that type of combination.
So internal reporting. You obviously are delivering this right now to the executives of the company. Tell me a little bit more about how you've done that, how you've managed to develop these reports and these dashboards for each one of them.
Yeah, so it's an interesting experience. You know, the first dashboard report you give an executive, you're going to find that they will say, that's great, but there's there's never a, you know, that is exactly what I'm looking for, you're done. And I learned this really quickly because I thought I was going to actually do some of these myself. I said, oh, these are easy. I'll create a couple reports for sales, for the VP sales. Awesome guy. Great requirements. He's very energetic to get data. Well, I gave him the first report. He goes, oh, that is phenomenal. But what I really need is this other thing. So I said, okay, that'd be great. I was, you know, like, just wanted to please the VP of sales. Let me get that that new feature added. And I did it. I came back 2 weeks later. He goes, that's phenomenal. But now, can I see it? And I was like, whoa. So I learned very quickly. It's like, this is it's called scope creep within development. And I was getting scope creeped to death. So I thought, I got to solve this or I'll never be a CTO to anybody but the VP of sales because I'm going to be doing reports for the rest of my life. So, you know, you've got to give people tools that they can customize, and Power BI allows us to facilitate that. You've got to give them a core of, you know, the base data they need, and then let them extrapolate and play what if games, and, you know, it's, you know, to their heart's content. But so the second part is really, you know, give them the core data and then give them training and train them. You've got to teach them to fish. It really is a great opportunity. Executives get really excited when they see the dashboard and they see that they can change things and they're kind of control of their own destiny. So it was really a big lesson learned for me was the first report you give anybody is going to be wrong. Even if they've sat down and designed it to, you know, and you've created it to their exact specification, it's going to be wrong. And it's hard for a developer to say, wait a minute, no, this is what you told me to do. The swing set was supposed to look like this. It's like, no, you wanted a rope swing. What do you mean you want a rope swing? And, you know, the old cartoon that's really famous, but it's so true. But you've got to build tools that are extensible and reporting that's extensible. And that was a key lesson learned. I encourage everybody to think that way. Just know that the first one you give it to them fast. So fail fast and then let them learn and let them grow on their own. I think you just sage advice.
And is Power BI just the core of that reporting?
Power BI is the core of that reporting for us. It's oftentimes getting the proper aggregations and consolidations figured out over time, and that happens. Power BI has been a wonderful tool. I think the cloud implementation has been great for us because it's not one of those things. You know, there's like a new version every 2 weeks, and there's no way I could keep up with that with our operations staff here. So as new features are rolling out, we're adopting them instantly. I mean, we have visibility to what's being released. We add features and functionality. The executives consume it, and away we go. So, you know, it's just a benefit on, you know, the operation side and on the end user side that we can take advantage of. It's the fastest path to value and the fastest time frame possible.
Awesome. Steve, I know before the show you mentioned something called the Power BI Quick Start.
Oh, yeah, Power BI Jumpstart. Yeah, speaking for Microsoft for a second, excuse me, Microsoft's made a big investment in their cloud infrastructure in Azure. They're opening, Mark, you might not even know this, they're opening 147 new data centers this next year, which is an incredible amount of new computing power and new storage they bring online, right? So they have two programs they've launched to assist business processing people like Mark and his team. The Azure Everywhere program is one to help people get started on the Azure and on cloud services very quickly and very easily. And the other one's called Power BI Jumpstart, which allows them within 3 weeks to have their, basically have their dashboarding and their implementation done pretty quickly and then allow that evolution that Mark spoke about earlier to take in place. Because, you know, Mark's right on trend with the things he's talking about. The trends are very strictly are very definitely going down a path of being industry agnostic. You can imagine how this works in healthcare, how doing better data processing works in manufacturing. It's device agnostic. People want their information where their information can be found. And today, increasingly, that's right in the palm of their hand. And it's really data agnostic, whether it's structured or unstructured data. If you can put a node on it, if you can capture something, there's somebody in your organization that can probably benefit from that and it'll make a difference. And you know, as Mark noted, it's not reporting the old-fashioned way. This is really having a immediate, parsed as needed, evolving capability to do a deep dive into the data within an organization. And most organizations are finding if they push that info down, you push down the capability as well. So your chain of command can really start to become more working in the business and on the business at the same time without having to have the IT team tied up and giving them every little nuance they actually need. So if the plumbing's right, if the data inventory, the processes, if the structural foundations are as Mark's talking about, then the biggest challenge is getting things into the hands of the users and making sure that, and Mark, you might want to speak about this too, just real quickly, some of the cultural change that you found here as well. So because adoption really is the key, right?
No, absolutely. I think you've got to have people that are open to new processes, learning about our customer base, understanding and being able to direct the company based on quantitative measures. So we're constantly looking at new customer adds, customer attrition, trend reports around our customer service metrics. Are we providing the customer service? So how long does it take us to actually solve problems? So it's really part of the culture to see how we can help our customers best. And if we can quantify ways of measuring that and having metrics that we can measure ourselves against and to improve the processes based on the data, then I think it's win-win. But definitely one of those things we're focused on.
Great. So Clearent has a set of core values that I believe factored greatly into this move. Would you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, like I said, it really is having a an inquisitive group of people who are constantly learning, who want to help others. And I think that it permeates our culture from our customer service representatives all the way through to our database administrators. And it's a culture that we celebrate through the consumption of craft beer sometimes. but it's actually having fun. And this is pretty serious business, and we're moving $30 to $50 million every night. So when things go wrong, they do go wrong, and we have to be able to solve those problems. And we take our business very seriously, and we want to provide the highest level customer support we possibly can and service. But we have to obviously do that with a balanced focus on the business, right? So it's an interesting balance of how do you provide the maximum amount of customer benefit at the lowest possible cost, and that's the delta. And we do that through measuring with data. It's we look at where the problems are. We try to focus on those problems, and we think of ourselves as things will break. We fix them. We learn about them. We triage the problem, and then we move forward. And hopefully, we've lesson learned, and we hope that it won't break again in that area. But there'll be future failures that we'll have to address. And it's a quantification of the failures. What's our failure rate, and are we getting better or worse? So we're constantly measuring ourselves around that. And we've had huge positive trends through the introduction of some of this technology. The more I can move our technology into the cloud and I can offload that operational burden from us to someone else that we're paying to handle it, that's always a business benefit. We did the same thing with Office 365. So we've moved our email exchange, SharePoint, all that stuff is in the Microsoft cloud. And it's freed up our operational resources to do other things, other high value things. So it's just not the consumption side; it's the operation side and the benefits for making these moves to the cloud.
Fantastic. Well, Mark, Steve, thank you both for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, you as well. And hopefully, we'll get to have you back sometime to talk about the continuation of the march forward.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.